We're dealing with a subject this morning that is kind of touching, and especially if you're not the one that qualifies to speak on the subject. But for starters, I'm going to ask the kids a question. Kids, who was the greatest babysitter mentioned in the Bible? Pardon me? Who is the greatest babysitter that's mentioned in the Bible? Kids don't know? Who knows? He's only one. Pardon me? No. No. It was not a lady, ladies. He was a man. David, he rocked Goliath to sleep. I'll forgive you for not knowing the answer. An act of kindness I want to pass on while I'm thinking on the subject as we were challenging the time on the open mic. We came home on Friday evening a little bit late because we spent an hour and 15 minutes at the ferry waiting to cross, which is fine and great that it worked, and we got home safe and sound. But we had just gone to bed. About 10 to 12, I believe it was the time. Well past my wife's bedtime. Anyway, we're just in bed and there's an absolute bang. Like a shotgun blast is very quiet in comparison. And the power went off. And immediately I said to myself, it must be a transformer blew up or something because it was loud. And immediately I looked out the window. We can see our neighbor's yard light and it was still on, but we had no power. So we knew it was affecting only us. And so I called. I made the call about 5 to 12. And within one half an hour, Atlas restored our power. ATCO Power restored our power. So I'm thankful for the kindness that the gentleman that put his pants on quickly, that may have already been in bed for an hour or two, I don't know. But he came and restored our power, and for that I'm very grateful. That was an act of kindness. He could have said, well, I'll come and do that in the morning. And by then our freezer may have started unthawing some of the goodies that my wife stores there. Acts of kindness. We're continuing on this subject on fruits of the Spirit. We're going to be here for a bit more, a few more weeks. And being a visual learner, I always like to compare things, kind of a more of a black and white kind of guy. I can see the white better when I've seen the black. And here goes for a few examples of what unkindness looks like before we're going to look at some kindness this morning. Dear Abby, I'm 44 and I'm looking for a husband with no bad habits. That's what Rose writes to Abby. Abby's response is, so am I. On a more sobering note, October 7, 1969, the Montreal, Canada police force went on strike. I don't know if anybody here remembers that. I don't. We didn't have television back then. And I wasn't that old. Because of what resulted, the day had been called Black Tuesday. A burglar and a policeman were slain. 49 persons were wounded or injured in rioting. 9 bank holdups were committed, which was almost a tenth of the total number of holdups the previous year alone. And along with 17 robberies at gunpoint, usually disciplined, peaceful citizens joined the riffraff and went wild, smashing some 1,000 plate glass windows in a stretch of 21 business blocks in the heart of the city of Montreal, hauling away stereo units, radios, TVs, and wearing apparel. While looters stripped windows of valuable merchandise, professional burglars entered stores by doors and made off with truckloads of goods. A smartly dressed man scampered down the street with a fur coat over each arm with no police around. Anarchy took over. It's our natural tendency to act unkindly, selfishly, and disrespectfully of other people and other people's property. That's who we are by nature. Charles Hodge points out the overwhelming need of humanity He says that our guilt is great because our sins are exceedingly numerous. It is not merely outward acts of unkindness and dishonesty with which we are chargeable. Our habitual and characteristic state of mind is evil in the sight of God. Our pride, vanity, and indifference to His will and to the welfare of others, our unselfishness, our unloving, the creature more than the Creator, are continuous violations of His holy law. We have never been or done what the law requires us to be or to do. We have never had that delight in the divine perfection, that sense of dependence and obligation, that fixed purpose to do the will and promote the glory of God, which constitute the love which is our first and highest duty. This is well demonstrated in kindness. We are at all times and under all circumstances in opposition to God, because we are never what His law requires us to be. If we have never made it our purpose to do His will, if we have never made His glory the end of our actions, then our lives have been an unbroken series of transgressions. Our sins are not to be numbered by the conscious violations of duty. They are as numerous as the moments of our existence. Kindness is not niceness. Charles Colson, in his book Against the Night, quotes C.S. Lewis in saying that a world of nice people, content in their own niceness, looking no further, turned away from God, would be just as desperately in need of salvation as a miserable world and might even be more difficult to save. They are people caught up in their own niceness, but are unresponsive to the kindness of God. I wonder if I could be so brave and to ask an usher to bring me some water this morning. I deal with sinus problems, and some days they get the better of me, and it has a very drying effect on the important point of my body that is used in speaking. The property laws of a toddler seem to indicate that unkindness is quite natural to even a toddler. Have you ever watched your kids or your grandkids and to see that some things are kind of unkind as to what they do to each other, or maybe perhaps even to you as a parent or grandparent? They're kind of born with this. This is all bred out of the Garden of Eden. A toddler says, if I like it, it's mine. If it's in my hand, it's mine. If I can take it from you, it's mine. If I had it a little while ago, it's mine. If it's mine, it must never appear to be yours in any way. If I'm doing or building something, all the pieces are mine. If it looks just like mine, it's mine. If I saw it first, it's mine. If you're playing with something and you put it down, it automatically becomes mine. And if it's broken, it's yours. Kindness is also not sending a box of used tea bags to missionaries in Brazil, hoping that they'll be happy with what God has provided. Kindness is also not me talking inappropriately to my wife in a tone of voice that she does not appreciate and has not adjusted to in 43 years of marriage. And ladies and gentlemen, I'm working with it, and I've told my wife it almost seems to be a lost cause. I'm never getting it right to this date. You think there's any hope for me? I hope there is, but my wife is a great forgiver, and I love her dearly. But I've often spoken to her in a way that was not kind. And she's forgiven me. I praise her for that. Kindness is goodwill, benevolence, that temper or disposition which delights in contributing to the happiness of others, which is exercised cheerfully in gratifying their wishes. supplying their wants or alleviating their distresses. Kindness always accompanies love. There is no one's kindness we may not sometimes want or need. When you're in a problem situation, you may very well accept anyone and everyone's act of kindness. Being kind is an act of goodwill. Beneficence, any act of benevolence which promotes the happiness or welfare of others. Charity, hospitality, attentions to the wants or needs of others, etc., are deemed acts of kindness or kindnesses. A while back here, me and a brother-in-law of mine were heading to Fort Vermilion on a Friday night, I believe it was, or it was a Saturday night, to go and visit a brother-in-law in the hospital. And we come up to Stony Point Road, turnoff, and there's a little white vehicle pulled over, and it's sitting this way. So I indicated it was a flat tire, and the tire was ruined, and so was the rim. Two young ladies on their way to Grand Prairie, so I pulled over and proceeded to help them change that tire. And you know how it goes. You got that fancy tool. The days of the opening the trunk and pulling out the spare tire are gone, unfortunately. So you got this spare tire that's housed up in this cradle of salt and rust, and you got the wonderful tool that you stick in through the bumper, which the Chevy product unfortunately had the wrong one, and it didn't fit into the gizmo or the doomahickey, whatever you want to call it. And anyway, we couldn't lower the spare tire. But I went to pull out the tool from my truck and proceeded to change the tire, and no doubt the girls were more than happy to continue their trip to Grand Prairie. And we took off to the hospital. I didn't feel that that was at the time. At least I didn't look at it as being an act of kindness. But I thought it was a pretty good promotion for Ford for having the right equipment to help the Chevy owners. No offense to you, Chevy owners. An act of kindness is a spontaneous gesture of goodwill towards someone or something, our fellow humans, the animal kingdom, and the kingdom of nature. I'm reminded of a man that said after he got saved, even the horses knew it when he was plowing with them in the field. He started to treat his horses with kindness. In respect of the kingdom of nature, kindness does not litter intentionally. Regardless of whether it's the ditches, the quad trails, parks or riverbanks or any other place, kindness takes his garbage home and he disposes of it properly. Kind words and deeds come from a state of benevolence generated by a core response deep within all of us. When we carry out an act of kindness, it is a message from one heart to another, an act of love, an unspoken "I care" statement. Kindness is an unspoken "I care" statement. While you may not realize that you are performing many acts of kindness each day in the things that you do, such things as smiling and greeting people in a friendly manner, whether they are friends, associates, or total strangers. A kind act can be sincerely complimenting someone about their hair. Men do that quite a bit. Women have started doing it. Eyes, smile, laugh, and the item of clothing or jewelry that their positive outlook, their caring attitude, or something that they may have done well or are doing well are all acts of kindness. Tell a janitor they're doing a good job. It's an act of kindness. A job that's very often overlooked. Extremely important. I like cleanliness. I love it, as a matter of fact. My wife is beginning to appreciate it as well. She always has. She's just appreciating it more. Tell a janitor he's doing a good job. It can be helping someone put on and take off a coat, as we saw in the film, buttoning up an old man's shirt, putting on his tie. He's not able to do that. I admire young women in these Heimstead and the long-term care. Young women that have graduated or just out of school a year or two, and they're working and they're helping old people. I can't help but admire those girls. I say, what is a girl like you doing in a place like this? She says, I love it here. I love it here. I'm convinced it's God's call on their lives to help those people. And I highly respect him for making that decision and doing it faithfully. Kindness, acts of kindness, opening a door, saying please, thank you, excuse me, and other common courtesies that are unfortunately often not very common in a world of self-centeredness. Can be as simple as giving your total attention to people when they're talking to you. It may mean taking a break from texting when someone's talking to you. That could be your wife. It may also include making eye contact with your wife when she's addressing an important subject, and that subject is you. Instead of reading the paper or anything else at the time. Men, women often want our undivided attention. Kindness gives it to them. Women, men want your undivided attention as well. We may want to do the dishes, vacuum the floor, wash the floor, maybe iron your clothes for you, or take you out for supper. So forget about updating your Facebook and stare into the face of your beloved husband, and he may change the status of your entire life with undivided attention, love, and affection. Kindness can be offering support to someone who has a problem. It can be helping to heal a broken relationship. Kindness can also be seen in the things that we are not doing. For example, refraining from such things as gossiping, finding fault in others, or making negative judgments prematurely. Kindness can be acting out all of those lovely soft words that are in our vocabulary. Words such as caring, thoughtful, loving, sympathetic, gentle, considerate, warm, compassionate, understanding, forgiving, friendly, tender, unselfish, generous, helpful, supporting, nurturing. These are all words that acknowledge and respect others, join and unite relationships. Words that build relationship bridges between you and me. It seems that the world needs to hear more bridge-building words today, words of encouragement that cheers others up. Despite his busy schedule, during the Civil War, Abraham Lincoln often visited hospitals to cheer the wounded. On one occasion, he saw a young fellow who was near death. "Is there anything I can do for you?" he asked. "Please write a letter to my mother," the young man responded. Unrecognized by the soldier, the president sat down and wrote as the youth told him what to say. The letter read, "My dearest mother, I was badly hurt while doing duty, but I won't recover. Don't sorrow too much for me. May God bless you and Father. Kiss Mary and John for me." The young man was too weak to go on, so Lincoln signed the letter for him, and then he added this postscript, "Written for your son by Abraham Lincoln." Asking to see the note, the soldier was astonished to discover who had shown him such kindness. "Are you really our president?" he asked. "Yes," was the quiet answer. "Now, is there anything else I can do for you?" The lad feebly replied, "Will you please hold my hand? I think it would help to see me through to the end." The tall, gaunt Lincoln granted his request, offering warm words of encouragement until death came with the dawn. Wouldn't it be wonderful to sprinkle more of that kind of kindness in the world that we're privileged to live in? It's sad to say that we lose sight of the importance of these small little meaningful tasks all too quickly. We have a great story here in the Old Testament in which the concluding part was read to us by the Elias family in Genesis 50 about Joseph and his brothers. It's a story where the spirit of envy of older brothers causes them to sell their younger brother into slavery in Egypt. They lied to their father Jacob and told him that a wild animal had killed Joseph. It's an interesting story of a young slave rising to the position of power and becoming the personal attendant of Potiphar, the captain of the guard for Pharaoh, the king of Egypt. He was given complete control of the entire economy of Egypt. Chapter 39, verse 9 tells us that no one had more authority in all of Egypt than Joseph. After Jacob dies, the brothers of Joseph are afraid that Joseph may exercise his authority over them and pay them back for what they did to him back in Canaan. It's a great story where revenge for wrongdoing could have been the final scene, but kindness was exercised instead of revenge. This is not always the case in a family sibling situation. There is a great lesson in that story. Not my will, but thy will be done. And if my memory serves me correctly, somebody in the New Testament made that statement. Another wonderful example of kindness is found in 2 Samuel chapter 9, 1-11. I'll give you a little bit of background on the history of that story before we get into that part of the story. Beautiful story about King David, the guy that rocked Goliath to sleep. Saul was made the king of Israel in 1 Samuel chapter 10. Unfortunately, Saul was not a king who pleased God, so God chose to give the honor of being king to another person in 1 Samuel chapter 15. The one God chose to be the next king was David, a young man who worked for King Saul. As a matter of fact, David was a warrior who became Saul's number one military man. God had given David the gift of strategy, but more importantly, David had learned to trust God as his source of strength. And in so doing, God fought the battles for David. David spent a lot of time in the palace and became very good friends with Saul's son, Jonathan. And after some time and a number of victories in battle, King Saul became so jealous of David that he wanted to kill him. David ran for his life from the threat of King Saul. Even though he had several opportunities to kill Saul, he never capitalized on any of them. He said, "I will not touch the Lord's anointed." Through it all, Jonathan remained David's best friend. Jonathan even gave up his position as king of Israel for David, and he risked his life to defend David. Jonathan died in battle before David was made king of Israel. Let's look at the story as it unfolds, 2 Samuel 9, 1-12. 2 Samuel 9, 1-12. David is now on the throne, and he's asking this question. In spite of what King Saul has done to him, we lose power here, Corny? We're on. There we go. David asked, "Is there anyone left of the house of Saul to whom I can show kindness for Jonathan's sake?" Now there was a servant of Saul's household named Ziba. They called him to appear before David, and the king said to him, "Are you Ziba?" "Your servant," he replied. The king asked, "Is there no one still left of the house of Saul to whom I can show God's kindness?" And Ziba answered the king, "There is still a son of Jonathan. He is crippled in both feet." "Where is he?" the king asked. And Ziba answered, "He's at the house of Machir, son of Amiel, in Lodibar." So King David had him brought from Lodibar, from the house of Machir, son of Amiel. And when Mephibosheth, son of Jonathan, the son of Saul, came to David, he bowed down to pay him honor. And David said, "Mephibosheth?" "Your servant," he replied. "Don't be afraid," David said to him, "for I will surely show you kindness for the sake of your father Jonathan. I will restore to you all the land that belonged to your grandfather Saul, and you will always eat at my table." Mephibosheth bowed down and said, "What is your servant that you should notice a dead dog like me?" Then the king summoned Ziba, Saul's servant, and he said to him, I have given your master's grandson everything that belonged to Saul and his family. You and your sons and your servants are to farm the land for him and bring in the crops so that your master's grandson may be provided for, and Mephibosheth's grandson of your master will always eat at my table. Now Ziba had 15 sons and 20 servants. Then Ziba said to the king, Your servant will do whatever my lord the king commands his servant to do. So Mephibosheth ate at David's table like one of the king's sons. Mephibosheth had a young son named Micah, and all the members of Ziba's household were servants of Mephibosheth. And Mephibosheth lived in Jerusalem because he always ate at the king's table, and he was crippled in both feet. A beautiful story of kindness. When revenge could have set into the heart as bitterness and carried on for the entire life of King David toward the family of Saul. And here he shows an act of absolute great kindness. Can you imagine inheriting all the land that your grandfather, King Saul, had in the whole nation? I'm not sure. I'm sure he didn't have a quarter section. He probably had a few more. And he's got servants tending to it. What a gift. Sometimes we have a problem in understanding kindness, since it is one of the series of terms that are overlapping in many different terms, such as kindness overlaps with words such as goodness, mercy, pity, love, grace, favor, compassion, gentleness, and tenderness. Divine kindness, God's kindness, is taught throughout the Scripture. It's evident in what is called common grace. God is kind to all that he has made. We read that in Psalm 145, verse 9. Even when his creatures are ungrateful and wicked. Luke 6, 35 and 36 says, But love your enemies, do good to them and lend to them without expecting to get anything back. I think we saw that in the video. Then your reward will be great, and you will be children of the Most High, because he is kind to the ungrateful and the wicked. Be merciful just as your Father is merciful. God's kindness is intended to lead to repentance, not to rejection of him, according to Romans 2, verse 4. It is the believer who can truly celebrate God's kindness, even in areas of experience not directly related to salvation from the guilt and punishment of sin. God's kindness is seen as in his deliverance of the believer from affliction, fear, and trouble. God's kindness is also evident in the full salvation that comes through faith in Jesus Christ, as you read in 1 Peter chapter 2. Indeed, our salvation derives from the kindness of God, according to Ephesians 2, 7 and 8, and it is through continuing in his kindness that we are saved, according to Romans 11, 22. What is true of God in general is also specifically true of Jesus Christ, who is inviting us to take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light, Jesus says in Matthew 11, 29 and 30. In this connection, Jesus' kind yoke might better be understood to speak of the fact that it is gently and considerately laid upon our shoulders, rather than that it is easy for us to accomplish on our own. The Scriptures also teach that divine kindness is to be reflected in the lives of God's people. Indeed, expressing kindness to other human beings is more important than performing ritual sacrifice to God, according to Hosea 6, 6. An acknowledgement of God rather than burnt offerings. As a result, we are to love kindness, Micah 6, 8. Even more direct is the simple command to be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other just as in Christ, God has forgiven you and me, Ephesians 4, 32. Kindness also finds a place in the list of Christian virtues in 1 Corinthians 13, 4 and Colossians 3, 12. Paul takes this command a step further, and he claims to be an example of kindness in his own life to a degree that commends his ministry as being genuinely authentic. In 2 Corinthians 6:3, we want to read a portion there. 2 Corinthians 6, if you'd flip there for just a moment. 2 Corinthians, and we're going to close. 2 Corinthians 6:3-10. Paul says this, "But we put no stumbling block in anyone's path so that our ministry will not be discredited. Rather, as servants of God, we commend ourselves in every way, in great endurance, in troubles, hardships, and distresses, in beatings, imprisonments, and riots, in hard work, sleepless nights, and hunger, in purity, our understanding, patience, and kindness, in the Holy Spirit, and in sincere love, in truthful speech, and in power, in the power of God, with weapons of righteousness in the right hand and in the left, through glory and dishonor, bad report and good report, genuine yet regarded as impostors, known yet regarded as unknown, dying and yet live on, beaten and yet not killed, sorrowful yet always rejoicing, poor yet making many rich, having nothing and yet possessing everything." Ladies and gentlemen, you and I also possess everything. You and I possess everything through faith in Jesus Christ. We have everything to offer a world that is looking for answers, and they haven't even developed a full question. In fact, ultimately, no one is kind according to Romans 3:12, but by the grace of God, we can be kind. Romans 3:12 says, "All have turned away, they have altogether become worthless. There's no one who does good, not even one." I think that includes you and me. It is only by the fruit of God's Spirit that kindness can be a consistent part of our daily lives. The challenge we face is living out a greater degree of kindness in our home, our workplace, our leisure, our church, wherever else you find yourself. You will be rewarded for it. The mention of words and acts of kindness are the most popular tributes at funerals. You ever paid attention to that? The reflections on words and acts of kindness are the most popular tributes at funerals. Jesus said in Matthew 10:42 that there is a reward for anyone who simply gives someone a cup of cold water. That's a pretty simple act of kindness. A cup of water. The ultimate act of kindness we see in Scripture is Jesus going to the cross on our behalf so that you and I might live eternally. In Luke 2:42, Jesus says, "Not my will, but thy will be done." In John 19:30, Jesus said, "It is finished." Meaning God's plan of salvation was now complete, the perfect sacrifice for sin had now been made, and you and I are the recipients of that great salvation. Give Jesus praise for that today, tomorrow, and the rest of your life. Amen. He is worthy of our praise. The ultimate act of kindness. Exchanging our sin for his righteousness by faith in Jesus Christ. Praise be to Jesus. Let's pray. God in heaven, human words do not exist to express our gratefulness for what you have done for us and showing us ultimate kindness. God, generate in us, in our hearts, a desire to show that kindness to other people that don't know you, but also to those that do know you. Help us to see that The reward far outweighs any of the struggles we may go through here in carrying out an act of kindness. Help us to look at life from that perspective. Help us to have eternity in mind when we live our daily lives amongst our brothers and sisters in Christ and among those people that don't know Christ. Help us to communicate your grace, your love, and your kindness to those folks that they too may taste of the riches of eternity. To you alone be the praise, glory, and honor. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.